Circular economy is about ensuring we make the best use of limited natural resources. It's a challenging time for packaging designers and brand owners. Circular packaging needs realistic and clearly defined goals. It doesn't tolerate excuses. Packaging design should seduce, inform, and even save the planet. I'm Hernán Braverman, and this is Branderman, the podcast where I talk with experts to uncover what it actually takes to make a positive impact on consumers, the market, and society. Warning, keep this podcast out of the reach of close-minded marketers and designers. Before the interview, let me introduce my design agency.
Brands with purpose. Human, agile, honest brands that leave no one indifferent. Tridimage creates and revitalizes brands to imagine and shape the future. Tridimage, the branding and packaging design agency for bold brands.
Today I had the pleasure to speak with Uwe Melliha, a German sustainable packaging design expert, president of the European Brand and Packaging Design Association, and a long-standing member of the Red Dot Jury. Uwe is focused on sustainable packaging solutions for international brands. Before founding Melliha Bros in 2020, he led the packaging division at the brand agency Factor for over 25 years. With his company founded in Hamburg, he now follows the motto, value up, waste down. In this episode, we discuss what sustainable packaging should mean. We reflect on how to help consumer brands in the transition to a circular economy model. Finally, we understand why the word waste needs to disappear from our vocabulary as soon as possible. Today, with me, Uwe Melliha. Each of us is a container of ideas, projects, and dreams. However, we can't read the label when we are inside the jar. Uwe, what do you think your label says, or what would you like it to say?
Well, my label is sustainable packaging. I'm super deep into that subject, and I'm trying as best as I can to make packaging as such more sustainable or more circular, as you can say.
Building a brand is like a journey. It starts with defining where we are and asking ourselves where we want to go. How was the path that led you from studying communication design, then managing a leading agency in Germany, to now focusing on sustainable packaging solutions?
Dates quite laid back. So in the 70s, I had a packaging moment. It was on Easter, and I got a chocolate apple from my grandma. But my grandma, Melicha, said, "Thou shalt not bite from the apple." And since I sought wisdom, I ate the chocolate fruit and my eyes were opened and I knew that all products were naked and it's my duty to wrap them. No, honestly, just kidding, Anand. No, honestly, I mean, this packaging moment really happened because I got the chocolate apple from my grandma. There was a box around it. And when opening the lid, the sides of the box came down and this beautiful chocolate apple was standing there like on a stage.
Wow.
And this gave me a moment of unboxing, which I kept as an allegory of consumer experience and packaging. So to your question on how my passion for design and packaging began, well, I can say I was always curious and an explorer, and Lego played an important role in my life as a child. I constructed machines, abstract sculptures, buildings, and so on. You can ask my parents, they will tell you. No, but after finishing school, I was motivated to study design, but at that time, I wasn't sure if it should be product design or communication design, and I ended up studying communication design at a very, very good university in Kiel in northern Germany. Today's work on packaging is a little bit a mixture of both. There is some product design in it as well, and that's just great.
Did you start working as a packaging designer from scratch as soon as you left the university?
No. I started as a communication designer. Actually, when I was at school, I discovered that there was something missing. Academy didn't teach about the market demands. We didn't get requirements from real clients. So there was no real connection to reality. And so I was thinking it would be good to do an internship. And I was seeking out for the best agency in Germany. And well, I ended up at Factor Design in Hamburg. That was back in 1995. And less than 4 years later, I was the owner of the business, or at least a full partner. So when I was a young designer at Factor, there was, well, corporate design as one task. And in 1997, we got a huge assignment from C&A, the garment retailer. They had 1,500 stores and about 42,000 employees. And we at Factor, we've been 8 people at that time. And then I was asked to do their packaging, to redo all their packaging. And I had no clue, no experience. I just did what I thought was right. So in the beginning, I did some major mistakes, I can tell you. And I remember a terrible presentation I had with tons of cardboard presentation boards, and it was an absolute disaster. I wasn't able to handle the complexity of this subject. And I had to pack 90 different versions of ladies' fine tight. And there was density, style, color, size, fit. At the end, I managed to come over it. And 4 years later, I had packed 4,000 SKUs. And then I was prepared to pack everything. Then I was a real packaging designer. And you know what? It all depends on your relation to the client, on the trust, on a good briefing. And you have to really deep dive into the client's business, even if it's ladies' fine tights, which is not my thing I have with me every day.
And why did you fall in love with packaging?
It's a mixture of the two-dimensional part, like the communication part, and the structural packaging. And this is something which really, well, kicks me. And nowadays, this circular or sustainable aspect comes on top. 10 years ago, nobody wanted to think about sustainability. And now it's the biggest issue you have in packaging.
Regarding that, how has your vision of packaging design evolved?
I've continued working on the subject. I got deeper into it. I started to rethink all the structures of packaging, and I see myself as really a blue-collar worker. So I'm really going to the companies. I'm looking at their machines and everything. And that's why I wear a real blue-collar jacket every day. It's really an expression of my attitude. And now I have a colleague, my first employee, Paul, and he got one as well last week. So we're having the uniform, as you can say.
Do you think package designers are really garbage designers?
Oh, in a way, unfortunately, yes, I would say. But that's exactly what we have to change today. So we really have to find a good balance between the different roles packaging has. Packaging needs to give the product protection during storage or transport. It should ensure a longer shelf life. Then there is, in packaging, communication and convenience. So that's an answer why we don't only create waste. The package carries the brand message. It communicates important things about the content of the pack, and it helps differentiation, promotes the product values. And last but not least, in this balance, we have to make sure that there is no negative impact on our health, on our habitat, and on the environment.
I would like to know what inspired you to focus your efforts on sustainable aspect of design. Why did you change after 25 years of package design and decided to go for it?
I thought it's time to rethink your own role. And I mean, I did about 900 flights in my business life. And this is not a very good footprint in terms of our environment. And it's a matter of purpose. I wanted to change my life. And that's why I wanted to give back, do better packaging. And there's a need for that. There's a lot of demand for sustainable packages.
What defines sustainable packaging design, and what are its main ingredients?
Wow, this is a big word. You know, sustainability comes originally from forestry, like you take one tree out of the forest and put a new one or two new ones into it. For me, there is no universal answer to that. There is not a sustainable packaging as such. The waste hierarchy pyramid defines what's bad, good, better, and best for our planet. We have to bear this in mind when we create a packaging solution. So the question is, do we use a mono material? What about the printing ink, the size of the package, the construction? And if you look at this pyramid, there are 7 grades. So first grade, what you can do best if you look at packaging is avoid. So maybe it doesn't need a packaging at all. Difficult. but maybe it does not need the secondary packaging. The second level is reduced. So can we do it a little bit lighter? Can we rethink, redesign the package? Then there's reuse. For example, in Germany, we have a great system in place for beer and water bottles that they can be brought back and you get a deposit back, and then comes recycling. But there, the quality matters. Needs defined materials so that you really put something into the system that you can, at the end of its life, getting out again. The next level is compost, but this is a real difficult story. Composting materials is a sensible thing, but where it makes sense, it's great if you can have fast growing materials like wood and you can compost it at the end of its life. Then there is recover, which is not so good. It's just burning the package and you make energy out of the waste. And last but not least, dispose. This is not an option, but at least better than litter. This is the pyramid. What can we learn from it? Well, I think we need to define the right criteria for a packaging first. We have to do that with and for our clients. And we really want to figure out what we want to achieve and what this means for the packaging development.
What would you recommend to a brand manager facing the challenge of reducing the environmental impact of their packaging? Where should they start?
It depends. It depends on what product it is. If you take, for example, recycle or compost, two important moves a brand owner can do, you have to look at the material you're using. Talking about plastic, for example, plastic is not bad as such, but unfortunately, not enough is recycled. We're producing 380 million tons of plastic every year, and only 2% are really used for qualitative recycling, and 8% are used for lower quality product. But 90% of all the plastic which is produced ends in thermal recycling or is put in landfills or litter. This is not good. This is something I would recommend to a brand owner, really look what is the purpose of this specific package, and then define the right material, the right construction going with the material, and finding a good solution.
New generations expect the brands they support to live up to their standards of social responsibility. They expect brands to help them consume smarter, with less packaging, less waste, and more recycling. Why do brands struggle with sustainability? Why are we surrounded with greenwashing?
I think often marketeers fall into frantic actionism. They're really looking for simple solutions. And it's not simple. It's a complex story. And first of all, they need fast results. They want to make good offers and they look for solutions they can find in the packaging industry. Need something, a good narrative, a good story for their CSR report, for PR. And then it ends up maybe being a greenwashing, or I had a new expression, green painting, which is even worse. I found a product in baby food where they really printed natural paper on virgin fiber material so that it just looks as if it is a natural paper. But it is not. And they even printed the same picture from natural material on plastic. And I mean, this is not an option. This is not good. We need to find really, really sustainable solutions.
Imagine that a company approaches you because they want to make their packaging more sustainable. How would you help them? Where should they start?
I would really look into the whole process, the whole value chain, and try to make a circle out of it. We have to look at transport, at logistics, at the retail. We have to talk to the consumers what they want, and we have to look what is necessary for the product to be packed. That's the starting point. It really needs kind of a workshop at the very beginning of the process. And then you can start trying to find the right materials, doing a research on how it should look like. It's like building a house. I mean, if you build a house, you first think about the size. It depends a lot on where this house will be built. If you have Northern Ireland or Patagonia, if talking in your language, then if you do it on Bali or in the southern region, then it could be a lighter construction. Then you can create the footprint of this building, look for the material at the very last stage. Then you paint the facade and maybe you can paint it green then if everything else is done right.
And how should we compose a dream team of professionals to cope with a sustainable design challenge?
We have to find the right people. So, I mean, I'm working with environmental scientists, I'm working with 3D artists, with packaging engineers. So you really have to talk to experts, and we need to do it in an agile way. But we have to involve the client, and doing it in small steps, step by step, and not trying to find the wow solution in one go. I think this is not possible. And it needs these experts to really check whether the material you have in mind is really suitable for this product, and if the construction maybe can be done in a different way. So workshops are great if you do it right. I'm a big fan of really having the client and some experts together, finding the right solution.
How do you think we can rehabilitate ourselves from our addiction to plastic?
There are a lot of interesting renewable materials or from renewable sources which can replace plastics, biomaterials coming from milk proteins. We have to have a look what's on the market, what's possible. Also, looking at everything coming from wood can be a great alternative. You know, Sulapak, that's a material from Finland. It's really interesting. It has the same quality as a plastic packaging, but it's made from wood and it's really biodegradable. You can really put it in the soil and it disappears after a while. It takes its time. If you put a piece of wood into the soil, it also takes a while, or in the water, but it disappears completely. So it's different from all these bioplastic. That's a big problem from my point of view, because we don't have the infrastructure yet to really biodegrade this material. It says it's biodegradable, but that's a little bit of a lie, because you can't put it on your compost pile and it melts away. No chance. It needs 90 days of 60 degrees temperature to really make it fall apart. And even then, you don't get anything which adds something to the bio circle, if you talk about the circular economy.
Do you think the new generations like Gen Z will drive a paradigm shift in consumptions?
There's a high demand from consumer side to change the world here. There are a lot of market research showing that people are aware of that, and they will decide with their money what to buy and what not to buy. The young generation is really aware, and they ask for new packages which are more sustainable than the ones which are in the market.
What advice should every designer remember when designing sustainable packaging, and what advice should they ignore?
Well, they should ignore if somebody says there is one solution that fits all, because this is definitely not true. From my point of view, it's finding the right criteria for a packaging and taking all these things in consideration and talking to all people in the value chain, having everybody involved.
What are the few things that you think designers need to know right now and don't know? And what's a piece of advice that would help us improve our projects?
There is no universal solution for sustainable packages. We as designers have to look into material, into new ways of construction. My advice is talk to the industry, have a close look, check all the newsletters which are out there, also doubt what you read and get deeper into it and talk to the experts on these issues. So again, it's having the right people on the table and talking with them, discussing the solutions you make. And organizations like our EPDA, for example, can help finding those experts and getting the right information.
You mentioned the EPDA. I would like to know, what wisdom have you gained in the process of leading the European Brand and Packaging Design Association?
Oh, I learned a lot via this organization. I got a lot of information, but most of all, I got in touch with so many people. And this helps me in my daily work. Interestingly, although it's an European organization, we're connected far beyond the European borders. So that's how we got in touch, Hernan. Remember, we met on a terrace at Pendewards, on a terrace in Barcelona. Not much later, you gave a keynote speech at one of our conferences, and now we're here. I mean, this is at least something, huh?
Yeah, you sure?
So now I'm friends with the leading designer of Argentina. What a journey, huh?
That's great, yeah. I was surprised by the level of cooperation between people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a matter of mindset. Our members and our friends across the globe, they have this mindset. mindset that sharing is better than protecting their thoughts. I get inspiration. Inspiration is very important.
Talking about inspiration and the future, what changes do you think we will see in the coming years in the world of brands and their package design? Will we continue to see single-use packs? Will they be recyclable, reusable, durable? Will packaging as we know it today no longer exist?
Yes. I think there will be big changes. You've mentioned single-use packages are in a way maybe necessary. So I think people will go on using coffee-to-go cups. But the material or the way they are constructed will change. So I think packaging as we know it today will change a lot. We'll have renewable materials, we'll have recycling as a big, big issue, reused packages. Again, I have an example from Finland. It's called the Repack. So these are envelopes for shipping. You get your order from Amazon in an envelope and you take your product out and the envelope can be folded and put in any post box. Will be shipped back and then cleaned and reused. And I see many, many opportunities for those types of packaging.
What is the worst packaging design crime in terms of sustainability that you have ever seen or committed?
Absolutely, yes. I did a couple of design crimes and it's about overpacking. I can tell you one little story. When I did once a piece of packaging with my team for Adidas soccer jerseys. And well, we thought it's a brilliant idea to show these jerseys on a body. So we designed kind of a torso with flap at the box to open it. And in those flaps, we celebrated soccer, the emotion, the fans, the stadium. And the concept was also appreciated by Adidas. And it was adapted to all the premium soccer clubs around the globe, Germany, France, Mexico, Russia, and Argentina.
Wow.
But it ended up being a really huge and massive piece of packaging. And it was finally presented by Diego Maradona.
Wow.
At an Adidas press conference. And all of a sudden, he had this piece of packaging in his hands. And I got a photo with him presenting my work. And I thought, hey, this package is really, really big. Or Diego Maradona is quite small. And I can tell you, both is true.
Yeah, both.
Both is true. Well, nevertheless, I'm super proud of having a picture with the best soccer player in the world holding my piece of packaging in his hands. But today, I would do it differently.
Yeah, I guess so. Uwe, what's your next adventure?
Well, I'm writing a book.
Wow.
I already finished 3 chapters of it, and I hope it will be a reference book on packaging. That's everybody dreams of, but I hope that I can make it. And apart from that, at the moment, I started a big, big project for sexual wellness toys. Yeah. At the beginning, it was a lot of giggling and we made jokes. But after a while, it's not so much of a difference from packaging an electric toothbrush or other kind of tools. So I'm at the very beginning and it's a big, big project. And I'm really looking forward to have the first of those packages on the shelf very, very soon.
Regarding EPDA, what should we expect?
Well, we just did an archetype workshop, so we'll try to find out what is the major purpose of what we're doing, what do the members of our EPDA need. For sure, we want to gain new members and contacts around the globe. There's a lot going on. We defined new formats online and offline. So we're trying to find hybrid formats and we're developing a lot of them for our next future.
Vielen Dank, Uwe, für dieses wunderbare Gespräch. Wie du sagst, haben du uns geholfen, den Wert zu erhöhen und die Verschwendung zu verringern. Muchas gracias.
Wow, this was perfect German. I would love to answer in your language, but it's not an option. Sorry. Also vielen Dank an alle, die zugehört haben. Es war mir eine große Freude und Ehre, in Argentinien einen Podcast einzusprechen. Das ist sehr aufregend für mich und ich freue mich sehr darüber. Vielen Dank, Erna.
Tschüss.
Tschüss.
I hope you have enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. You can check the episode notes for all the relevant links. I also invite you to follow me on Instagram and on my website, branderman.design. Follow the podcast in your favorite app so you don't miss the next episode of Branderman. the podcast where we try to uncover how to make a positive impact on consumers, the market, and society through package design.